Titus chapter 3. And once again, I do want to thank the members of the Seminole String Band just for how they do. I'm serious. It's just a sweet and precious spirit. It's good songs, sung in the right way, and with a precious and wonderful spirit that you can sense upon them to convey these truths with their lives. Some of you fellas know, I'm telling you what, I mean, when you go to the prison sometimes, y'all pray for me. I mean, my hearing is not, it's got worse, you know, through the years, but brethren, I have at times thought, Lord, what am I going to do? Because it is so loud, I cannot take it. And I thought, I cannot. I mean, it's not just loud, it's wrong too. You know, it's wrong. But they're allowed to have their instrumentation. And brethren, honestly, there are times I've been like, Lord, I can't put my fingers in my ears. Because that's not going to look good. These guys are not going to smile upon that. And so I try to block my eustachian tubes off. I'm serious. Because it hurts so bad. And or you're done, you're trying, you know, you're just, your ears are about ringing and all like that. And I was just sitting there, you know, just listening. And it was just such a blessing to take and have spiritual songs. You know, earlier we sang hymns. Well, the Bible speaks of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There's the psalms or the hymns, and these are spiritual songs. Those things are spiritual songs. And to be able to, you know, close your eyes and just meditate upon what's being said, let God speak to your heart with it, it's refreshing, it's a blessing. And I surely thank the Lord for it. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And I know I said it again, but I do. I'm telling you what, I do appreciate them letting the music compliment and be a blessing rather than overpower. It's a blessing. Titus 3, verse 10. Titus 3, verse 10. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, please direct us, help us, and guide us. Father, thank you, Lord, for the Seminole String Band, dear God. And Lord, just for the way they're allowing you to work in their lives. Bless them, keep them, look after them. And Lord, please help Bonnie to get to feeling better and protect Becky as she flies out. And Father, we thank you and ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. You know, it's another thing that I think has been a blessing too is watch how Brother Norton has adjusted the family, the group through the years. From the time when they first started out, different personnel, different things, subtractions, additions, different things. And it's just a blessing how the Lord has guided him and how to adjust and make the most of how that's the way, because life is always in a state of flux, huh? You know, and you change and you adjust to things, and that's just a blessing. So now he's got some grandchildren coming along to add to the thing. The Lord tarries. Amen. Amen. All right.
We're going to keep them around until we figure out if they can pick or not.
There you go. I would imagine so. I'd imagine so. Come from good stock. Titus 3, verse 10. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. All right. A man that is an heretic. Well, what's an heretic? It's defined in the dictionary as a person who holds and avows opinions, religious opinions, contrary to the doctrines of Scripture. That's someone who takes, again, has beliefs and propounds them contrary to the Word of God. All right. And they're to be dealt with. They have to be dealt with. Because if they're not dealt with, they're going to spread their stuff.
Yep, that's right.
Amen.
They're going to infect others. And it's just going to happen. And let me say this again and remind you. I know you know this and you hear it from me, but we've got to be reminded of it. Folks, listen. The Lord established the local church, not the internet. He established the local church, not the internet. You will not get what your soul needs from the internet. It's a tool. It's a tool. All right? But God set up the local church where you can get a blessing and be a blessing. Where you can get help and be helped. That's what He set up. God set up a local church, and you need that. You need it. You're not going to get that from the internet. And brethren, the stuff that comes down the pipeline that you get through that stuff. Listen, folks, you need to get what God is going to put on your pastor's heart for what's needed, the need of the hour, and to guide and direct and get that. And he'll work through that. Be so very careful, y'all. Oh, goodness gracious alive. The danger, the disruption, the trouble that's come about from... And again, it's a tool. It's a tool. But I, as I've told you before, look, guys, you've got some power tools in your garage, no doubt, that make life a little bit easier. I mean, it's one thing to hammer with a hammer. It's another thing to use a nail gun. And it's one thing to saw with a handsaw and another to use a power saw. Nail gun, the power saw definitely makes the job a little bit quicker, a little bit easier, and get more done. But let me tell you something. It's also another thing to whack your hand with a hammer and have a nail driven through you near your heart with a nail gun. It's another thing to slip with a handsaw and cut your finger a little good, but have your hand cut off with a power saw. You see what I'm saying? There's greater potential with those tools. Tools, they're fine. They're tools. But there's greater potential for hurt with them. I don't think any of you fellas would just let your kids run around in the garage with those power tools. Well, you know what? It's the same thing with the computer and the internet. It's a tool. It's a tool. It's a tool and can be used fine and can be helpful if used in that manner. But you better understand the dangers. Amen. You've got to understand the dangers of it. All right, and listen, just like you wouldn't let your children run amok in your garage with those power tools without some supervision and without proving that they know how to use them, same thing. You know, listen, it'd be a pretty big thing of trust. You would supervise how that boy, that child used those power tools. You'd supervise it. And once they proved that they could handle it, you might say, okay, all right. Well, it's the same thing. You better supervise that use of that computer. Yes, sir. And if they prove to you, then okay. Okay. But see, let me tell you something. There's something about this thing with trust. Listen. There's got to come a point in training our children. There's got to come a point that you show some trust. Right. Otherwise, what's the use of training? Look, if you take a man on a job and you sign him off on stuff, and he's going through the training, and you sign him off, you approve him. And you say, okay, you're signed off on this. He goes, man, great. So I can, he goes, no, you're not gonna, I'm not going to let you operate it. What? Huh? What do you mean? Well, I'm not going to let you operate it. What's lacking? Oh, nothing. I signed you off. I mean, you're fine. Well, I'm ready to step into this role now. I'm ready I don't trust you. You might mess up. Well, why did you train me then? Why did you train me? There was no sense training me. You understand? There comes a point in training that, look, if you sign them off and you've got to trust. Otherwise, you're going to do worse damage. Yes, sir. Because that's an insulting. All right, it's hurtful, and it's like, well, what's the use then? Then nothing matters. Then training don't matter. Then everything you taught me don't mean anything. It's not important. If it's not to an end, if it's not to a result, if it's not to produce something, if it's not to produce trust, then what's the use of it? So file that away. File that kind of thing away. But listen, I'm just telling you, the computer's a tool. Use it as such, but you better be careful. You better be careful. Listen. There are folks today, and some of you know some of the folks that have gotten involved in different internet-type situations. Listen, look here. And I've said this. Some of you know I've said this. If that person on the internet is going to be your church, then get your stuff together and move there. Move there. Well, I don't... Stop it. No. That guy going to come in the hospital? Right, exactly. That guy going to come when you're having the marriage? This, that, and the other. I mean, come on now. Right. Yeah. Wednesday night, when we started looking at... Wednesday night, what did we look at about shepherd and sheep? Brethren, this is only one aspect of it. That's right. Sadly, this has been looked at as the be-all and end-all because it's the FaceTime stuff. It's up where people can see. But this is the only part that the pulpit time is Zechariah 11, feeding that that standeth still. The instruments of a foolish shepherd in Zechariah 11, if you reverse them, you'll get the instruments of a wise shepherd. And one of the tasks was feeding that that standeth still. That's pulpit time. You're coming and you're sitting still. In our Lord's day, sometimes the people stood and he sat. But that's fine. We do it this way. That's fine. Ain't wrong with that. But you're coming sitting still, hopefully, pray for me, to be fed. But that's just one aspect. That's just one aspect. But today we've turned it into the be-all and end-all of everything. But it's not. All right. As we looked at Wednesday night. All right? But so somebody gets on the internet. Well, okay. That guy ain't your pastor. If you want him to be, move there. And I'll tell you one other thing, and I'll say this and I'll move on. Now, folks, listen. Do not, I love you, brethren, do not come to me. Listen, if you disagree with me, that's fine. I want you to think for yourself. Shoot, I always told my children, I want my children to think for themselves. I didn't want them to parrot out just what I said. Only thing I told them was, I said, young'uns, look, if you come to me disagreeing with daddy, that's fine. I want you to think. But I want you to be able to say, daddy, but when I read this, as long as you can show me Bible, I'm fine. Because I'm going to try to give you Bible for the stances that I take. If you disagree with me, fine. But just be able to say, but daddy, I don't see it that way because it says, amen. I can deal with that. I can deal with that. But not just because, well, I think. Because that's not how I'm operating. I'm not trying to operate that way. Right. So I'm saying this to you. Look here. Please don't come to me saying, well, Brother Doss, I heard or Brother so-and-so said, wait a minute, what about you? You show me from you. Right. You show me. Brother, look here. I believe you have a right as a congregation, as God's flock, you have a right to have a pastor that'll get something from God for you. Not something parroted out from somewhere else. I believe you have a right to look for that somebody that'll try, and I covet your prayers, to get with God and get something for God for the need of the hour that'll help us. You don't, brethren, you don't need me coming to you and hearing from this pulpit all the time. Now, brother so-and-so said, or I read that, brother, you want to say, well, pastor, good night, son, what about you? What has God showed you lately? Seriously. Well, by the same token, don't come to me. Well, I read that brother so-and-so or doctor so-and-so. How about you? Did God show it to you? Brethren, and it's not, and listen, anything that you get from me, God better confirm it to you. Don't you go out and try to say, well, Brother Doss said this. That ain't going to cut it. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear what Brother Doss said. If the Holy Ghost confirms it to you and you've got it from God, well, all right, that'll work then. That'll work. Let the Holy Ghost confirm it to you and then go forward with it. But read that stuff. If you try to take and defend something that God hadn't really given to you in your heart, you'll try to be like, get Brother Doss's tape. They'll do it. No. You know what that person's going to say to you? Don't you know that yourself? Don't you see it yourself? I mean, what are you doing? You're fine. But that ain't going to work. All right, praise God. But my task, I'll try to put it out to you. Sure. Then I hope and trust that the Holy Ghost will bear witness to it. You bird dog it yourself and find out. Let God give it to you and cement it down in your heart and then go forward with it. Amen. Seriously. But brethren, look here. I'm telling you, don't fall prey to that stuff. You want people like that? They like that. The internet type stuff because it's the same reason that in the latter days men will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. According to their lusts. Heap themselves teachers according to their lusts. Brethren, because what happens is, brethren, those guys are not going to put it out, everything that needs to be put out, where you and I need to get it at. I mean, my goodness, brethren. I told somebody the other day, in going through Psalm 23, the one thing I'm so excited about in doing Psalm 23, it's just exciting to see the stuff that we're seeing, but as a pastor, not only is it exciting for me, it's very convicting. It's very convicting. And as I'm studying it, the Lord is whacking me between the eyes with the completeness of these duties of a shepherd. And it's convicting and it's exciting and it's all kind of things at one time. But brethren, I'm just telling you, be careful. Stick with what God has set up. That book, local church, what God has given you there, stick with what God has established. Okay, so heresy. man that's a heretic, after his first and second admonition, reject. So, a heretic is guilty of heresy. Okay? Heresy, won't you notice, heresy is a work of the flesh. It has been, most of your heresy, if not all heresy, has behind it a carnal, self-serving motive. And I'll prove it. Go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 19. Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Heresy is a work of the flesh. Heresy is listed as a work of the flesh. Go to Romans 16. And as such, in most heresy, you will find it has behind it a carnal, self-serving motive. Most of the time, in some kind of heresy, somebody's wanting to get away with something and justify it. Somebody's either seeking, following, power, or to get away with something. Heresies are works of the flesh. All right? Look here. Romans 16, look at verse 17. Romans 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. There you go. Somebody coming and bringing forth divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. That'd be heresy. According to the dictionary definition of heresy, that is heresy. Something that's contrary to the doctrine you've learned. You know what Paul says about them? You're to avoid them. You're to avoid them. The reason you're to avoid them is you'll catch what they've got. You will catch what they got. That thing will liable to come in. Listen, you know what? Shoot. They tend to prey a lot of times on new converts. Or they'll find somebody. A lot of times what they'll do is, we'll see in a minute, they do like all animals of prey. They'll find somebody on the edge there. Somebody that seems disgruntled, somebody that seems a little on the edge, or not quite in, all right? And they'll prey on that individual, all right? They say that's the place where they'll make their move. Look here, you're to mark them. You're to point them out. You're to mark them. They cause it. You know what? Look here. There was a brother I knew in the Lord, and I thought a lot of him, all right? He was in a church about 70, 80 miles from here. And he's a good brother, seemed to have a big heart on him. But he just had some whacked out beliefs. Really wild beliefs. And his pastor told him, his pastor had a lot of patience with him, he really did. And his pastor told him, said, "Brother so-and-so, now I'm having young converts and young people in the church come to me, and you're confusing them. Now this stuff that you're propounding, I don't teach it. I believe it ain't scripturally sound. Lay off of it." And he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He set himself up to buck heads with his pastor. And he was a friend of mine. And I went to him. I went to him and I said, I left here about one night, about, this is about 25 years ago. I left here about 11 o'clock one night, drove to see him. And I said, "Brother so-and-so, I said, you're going to cause your pastor to put you out of this church. I said, your pastor has told you." And this is a friend of mine. I thought, "Your pastor," I said, "has told you, leave this alone." I said, "You're going to force him. You're going to put him in a position that he's going to have to do something. Lay off of it." And I remember sitting there talking to him. And I said, "Brother so-and-so, could there be an element of pride in this?" And I'll never forget. He went, "Maybe, maybe, maybe." I think he had a good chance right then to acknowledge and say, "You know what? It is pride. It is pride, and I'm wrong in this." But he wouldn't do it. He did what I told him not to do. He kept pushing it, and he left his pastor no choice. His pastor had to take and put him out. In fact, really, he showed a lot of indulgence with it, more than really what he had to. But he forced his hand on it. Look, the Bible says it's a work of the flesh. All right? And somebody, you find some heresy, you're going to find behind that thing somewhere some a self-serving motive and some pride, some carnality in that thing as a motive behind that thing. You know what you do with them? You mark them out. You have to. Brethren, listen. The saints of God should not be nitpicking. They shouldn't nitpick. They shouldn't take and try to hyper-examine one another. That's not what we're about. Have you ever gone to a situation where you meet a new believer somewhere and you get the feeling that you're getting felt out? That you just can't relax and be yourself? I hate that stuff. Don't be that way. I can't stand that stuff where it's like a feeling out process, like, wonder what they do or don't do. Are you serious? Huh? Really? Huh? Are you serious? Is it all about that? What are you going to do? Go, honey, I think we have more convictions than they do. I really do. Are you going to turn away going, oh, man, I think there are a couple up on us. Shoot. Maybe we need to do that now. And it, brethren, in a way, it just about goes on. It really does. It just really is about like that. It's about like, man, what's wrong, honey? Nothing. Man, they don't do this or that. Maybe we not. What? So you can feel up with somebody? That's just so ridiculous. You know what, brethren? Love somebody in Christ. Love somebody in Christ. And understand, brethren, there's going to be folks that do some things that you don't do, and you're going to do some things probably that they don't do. Now, this is truth. Right. You know, the Bible says in the book of Numbers, every man was to pitch by the ensign of his own, the standard of his own family, his own tribe. Each tribe had their standard. You know what? Each family ought to have their standards. Brother, I'm not talking about heresy here. I'm not talking about that. Right. I'm talking about different things as a family that are unique and different. Brother, look here. I tried to teach my kids, if we ever visited somebody when they were coming up and maybe they did something that we didn't do, we discussed it. And we said, you know, because we don't want them confused. You know, but I said, look, well, they see that this way, but you know what? We love them. And that's and I'm sure there's some things we so we're going to respect that, and we're not going to take it. Now, we're not going to do that because we feel this way about it, but we love them folks, and we're not going to try to get after you. But you do that with your kids. And you and then they can come up, normal! Seriously? Yeah. They come up normal and be able to deal with people. Right. They can be able to deal with the rest of this world on somewhat of a decent basis. I'm serious. And something's bad went wrong when God's people can't be normal. And you know what I'm saying? Just being able to deal with day in and day out people and things, and just, it shouldn't be that way. And so you do sometimes, you get that kind of feeling out process. That's not good. Just be who you are. But brethren, listen, when there is heresy in the local assembly, it's to be dealt with, admonished, first and second admonition. And if the person refuses to acknowledge biblical truth, as we're going to see, you got to mark them, you got to board them, you got to put them out. And that's just the truth. It has to be done. Because if you don't, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and it's going to creep in, it's going to affect others. You don't do it at the drop of a hat. The Bible says after the first and second admonition. But may I also say, you don't linger it neither. One imbalance is just as bad as the other. To not deal with it is wrong. Of course, you know, to deal with it too quickly, is wrong. But then to linger the thing on and on, all the Bible says after the first and second admonition, reject. Be careful about that thing will start taking root somewhere. All right, heretics try to bring their damnable doctrines in a sneaking manner under the radar. Go to 2 Peter 2. And you know what's going to happen a lot of times? You are liable to become cognizant of it before the pastor gets a hold of it. The reason is, they're not going to let the pastor see and know it. Because they don't want him to know it. So what they're going to do is, they're going to try to take and see if they can sneak it in with you. And you know what you need to do? You need to have your act together where you can say, brother, no, that's not how it goes here. And I think, you know, you need to talk to the pastor about that. That's not how he looks at it. And I don't believe that neither. You need to confront it also yourself. Now, let me tell you something. If you get wind of something like that going on, you better tell your pastor. Yes, sir. I'm not talking about ratting people out about different details about their life. I don't want to If you have heresy that is being spread out and put in places, you better let your pastor know.
Amen.
Seriously.
Yes, sir.
Because it's dangerous stuff. It's dangerous. Look here, 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even if there should be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Notice how they do it. They do it privily. They don't do it out publicly and open. They do it privily. They try to come in under the radar. They do it kind of quiet light. They just kind of, you know, let's have a Bible study. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times, well, how can be wrong with a Bible study, man? Huh? What can be wrong with a Bible study? What they're trying to do, they're trying to have a Bible study and bring in something. And a lot of times it's liable to be like this. Now, you know, I know the pastor probably don't see. And don't get me wrong. There's some things that, of course, you're going to, we're not going to be robots. But when it comes to doctrinal matters of Scripture, cardinal, foundational matters, listen, some red flags better go up. And deal with it quickly. Seriously. Take your Bible. Go to Jude. Jude. Verse 3. Jude 1, verse 3. By the way, you ever seen... Listen, you ever watch this stuff? Listen. Like women's Bible studies. Listen. Titus says in chapter 2 what the older women are teaching the younger women.
Right.
Practical matters of home and holiness. There you go. Ain't that something? All these, you know, ladies that want to be Bible teachers and this, that, and the other, how come they don't do that?
Right.
Seriously. How come they don't get together and talk about, hey, we'll have a little Bible study with you younger ladies and teach you how to be chaste and love your husbands and love your children and beekeeper. Oh, no. Because you know what? It becomes a thing of, they want to be Bible scholars. Hey, teach the things that God told you to teach there, the older women or the younger women. It's just sad. It's just sad. It's just sad, the stuff that goes on. And I'll be honest with you. Gentlemen, look here. That's where you nix that stuff. You nix that stuff. And you say, honey, no, you're not going to do that. No, you're not going to do that. You lead those homes. Not in a domineering, tyrannical manner, but in a firm, leading manner. You know what my wife told me one time that I really appreciated? God bless her. She looks at me through rose-colored glasses, grace-colored glasses, that's for sure. But she said, I'm glad you try to lead our home. She said, I'm glad you let, I'll say try. She said, because Jonathan, she goes, I know myself. She said, and if you didn't take and keep me in line, I know what I'd let myself be and how I'd let myself do. I appreciate that. Means a lot. Means a lot. She said, I know myself. She said, I know what I would. She said, if you didn't take and say no to things and try to take and do like you're supposed to do and try to, and I appreciate that. And guys, look here, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. Not in a tyrannical manner. Not trying to be tyrant, but in firmness and in a leading manner. Sometimes say, honey, don't think so. And you run that by me, we'll see. And seriously, I mean, ladies, look here. You ready to go somewhere? You know, let him know. You let him know. And if he says, well, honey, I don't think so. Listen, I tell her when I'm going out somewhere, not because I'm checking in, but because I just think it's a courtesy. I think it's a courtesy. Because what if something was to happen to me while I'm out? She would like to know, and I sure would. Hey, you guys ever done this? I can't stand to be out somewhere and call and I can't get her.
Amen, brother.
Man, I have blown that phone up, man. Going to the juvenile center or jail, man. I've been like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
I'm a shit.
Hey, Hey, you know what? Look here. The thing of it is, because look here, you know why? I am thinking at times, well, my goodness, what if something's happened at the house? You know? What if something's happening at the house? Or what if something's, you know? And so, and I tell them when I go out, I say, sweetheart, have the phone with you.
Amen, brother.
Amen, brother. I said, where? Maybe we're going to move along here in just a second. Well, and ladies, here's the reason why your husband loves you. He cares about you. He cares about you. And what happens is, because he's liably thinking in his mind, you know, well, what has happened to her? You know, she's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Who knows what? No, I'm just, just, no, ladies, I'm picking at you. So what he's liable to be thinking, you know, well, my goodness, if she fallen, if something happened, or something, man, just who knows what, or somebody, I mean, you know, all kind of things happen around our house. Luke and Ellie can tell you, but. Son, I'm trying to think of illustrations, all right? Leave me alone. But Sarah's going to probably tell me tonight, so everybody thinks I'm 80 years old now, huh? But ladies, I'm telling you, that's why he does that. And here's the reason, the important thing. I tell her, I say, honey, have that phone with you. When I leave, have it right by you, because listen, you don't think the devil will try to use that as a distraction as a man's getting ready to go to preach or do something for the Lord. Sure. You're getting ready to go preach. You're getting ready to go. And in the back of your mind, you're having to take and say, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. I'm trusting you. And he'll be attacking that mind with it. Yeah. You know, and so I'm just telling you. You know, it's just, it's a courtesy thing. It's a courtesy thing. I mean, ladies, look here. He has a right as your husband to give approval of things like that, and where you go and things like that, you run it by him. But guys, as a courtesy. See, here's the thing. The Bible says in Genesis 2, the Lord told Eve, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Okay? Ladies, he has that leadership over you, and you are to defer to him. But I'll be in the Song of Solomon. You know what she says? I am his desires toward me. Whoa. See, she has to be a certain way, but love causes him to be a certain way. It's kind of interesting. Lord said, thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee. Song of Solomon, she says, his desire is toward me. Guys, ladies, he doesn't have to go and say, well, honey, I'm going to be going here and that. He didn't have to do that. But love and courtesy causes him to be that way.
That's right.
Just the right kind of way to be. And like we said this morning, just different roles. Just different roles in a way that God has set up. Okay? All right, so let's go here. Look here. Look at Jude 1, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men, hey, crept in unawares. Now there are. As one brother said, Bible creeps. Now there are. Bible creeps. They crept in unawares. Under the radar. There it is, under the radar. All right. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. Notice something marks them. Ungodliness. Remember, work of the flesh, they're ungodly. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So that'd be that crowd that tries to say that grace is a license to sin.
Right. Yeah.
That you know what, you just live in. Well, they're legalistic. They're putting this, listen, holiness is not legalism.
That's right.
Holiness is something that the character of God requires from the beginning of that book to the end of that book.
Right.
That's just all there is to it. But they'll come and they'll deny that. And they do it under the radar. You got to watch out. Go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, such turn away. For of this sort are they which, there again, creep into houses, And I tell you what, their creeping has been made easier now through electronic media. See, it used to be harder to creep in. But man, they can creep in a lot easier now. A lot easier now. Creep in houses and lead captive silly women. It's laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. See that? There's a fleshly element to this thing. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. All right. So again, they'll try to do it under the radar. They'll try to sneak in with heresy. Can I just say this? Run a little rabbit trail there again. Folks, look here. That's another reason. Y'all listen. If you reconnect with anybody from your high school days or your past, you better make sure you know 100% God Almighty is behind that thing. Don't do it. Listen, you ain't what you was, hopefully. You ain't what you was, but you still got flesh. And the devil's just waiting for that time that things aren't going good, or you're kind of bored, or things are old hat, and lo and behold, there's somebody you connect with, and boy, I'm telling you what, he can set the scene. And it's just like when you hear a song or a smell from the past, you're there. You're there. He'll set the tone for that thing. Don't even go there. Don't do it. I told you, you know, Brother Jeff said, and I appreciate of him, he said, you know, that the Daisy had mentioned to him about, his sister had about a couple years ago, setting up a Facebook site so that they could all keep in touch, you know, the family could keep in touch. And Jeff said, well, okay, that makes sense. Jeff said, Pastor, he goes, I had not set that thing up. And lo and behold, within a day or two, not thinking about 2 days, boom, 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 a couple of girls from his past. He said, that's it, down, done, over, done, shut it down. Amen. That quick. That quick. He's like, nope, done, over, forget it. That's a smart man. Smart man. It's just not worth it, y'all. You've got to be so very careful. Okay, look here. Let me say this. The Lord will sometimes allow heresy in to bring those approved to the surface. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. See, it's kind of like, you know, the Bible says, whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent will bite him. You better not break the hedge of God's will around you. But sometimes God will lift the hedge like he did with Job for divine purposes. Well, the same thing. You and I should be like watchdogs keeping heresy out. But sometimes, in spite of our best attempts, God will allow heresy in. Now, he's not the author of the heresy. He's not God's. But he will allow the heresy in for this purpose. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you. Wow. Why? That they which are approved may be made manifest among you. God will sometimes allow heresy in, so that those which are approved in the local church will manifest themselves, and thus the church can know where its leadership can be provided from. Because listen, when God allows heresy in, then those that are approved will manifest themselves in two ways, that they have their doctrine right and their attitude right. You understand? That's how the church can know how leadership, where it can pull its leadership for different things from. Because they've got their doctrine right and their attitude right. Because what happens is there's some brethren, they got their doctrine down. They can oppose that heresy. They ain't got their attitude right. They don't handle it with the right attitude. They're not approved. You've got some brethren that they've got the right attitude. But they're just not in their Bible enough to know how to refute the thing and to know the thing. Okay, so they're not. It's both of it. It's both of it. Those that are approved should have their doctrine down to where they can oppose that heresy with the scriptures and in a right manner with the right attitude. With humility, with meekness, considering their own self. And so God will allow it at times so that that can be made manifest and the church knows where to pull leadership from when there's a need. All right. Those that are in error will call those that are truly following truth, they will call them heretics. In other words, look, when you're following the truth, somebody's going to call you a heretic. Now, there are true heretics, and then there are those who are called heretics by heretics. So, and that's just the way it's going to be at times. Take your Bible. Go to Acts 24. Acts 24. Settle it to set your eyes on Jesus. Finish your course and don't worry. Because if you worry about what folks think about you, well, you'll go crazy. Brethren, you know what? This thing blows my mind at times. I have been looked at before as liberal and as legalistic. Yeah. There's some folks out there, I thought I was liberal, and some folks out there I thought I was legalistic. And you just realize, well, I'll be. That's one there, ain't it? No, well, that's one. And what do? You just keep your eyes on the Lord. And as God corrects you, you receive the correction that emanates from the Lord, whether by a brother or sister or by his word or preaching or teaching, you receive the correction. If there's a Justin, you receive it from God, and you just set your sights on the Lord and march on. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it'll shock you what some folks will the appraisal they will make of you. Some folks will think that you're legalistic, and some folks will think you're a liberal, and you'll sit there going, well, ain't that a fine howdy-do, as old Bill Dance would say. How do you figure that one? How do you figure that thing out? Ain't that wild? But it'll happen. All right, look here. Acts 24, verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, talking about the Jews, you see, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which were written in the law and in the prophets. Isn't that something? Paul was called by others a heretic. The way he worshiped was called heresy. So, brethren, look here. You take the Jews. They would look at the way we worship in truth as heresy. All right? We'd be looking as heretical to them. And so that's going to happen sometimes. It's okay. It'll happen. It just will. Just make sure that you're not guilty of heresy. Keep your eyes on the Lord and in his word. So the Bible says a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Deal with them twice with humility, with a desire that they'll receive correction. And if they won't repent, remove them. Remove them before they influence others. Go to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. I'm sorry, 2 John. I'm so sorry, 2 John 1. Verse 10. 2 John 1, verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Brethren, don't send them on away with a God bless you. Right. Don't send them on away with may the Lord prosper you and bless you. Why, no. Now, brethren, look here. I would never send a Jehovah's Witness from my door saying, Lord bless you. No, sir. No, sir. May God prosper you or bless you. Have a nice day. But, oh, really? I really hope they don't. And I mean that in the right way. Right. Really. Brethren, I'll be honest with you. My prayer. Inside would be, Lord, disable their vehicle. Right. And you say, well, brother, no, listen, brethren, what they are doing is far worse than if they come in and shot somebody in their arms or legs. Right. They are putting forth damnable doctrines that affect men's souls for eternity. Right. Now, listen, I didn't say you go mess with anybody's car. You never know who you're talking to today. I'm serious. You want to clarify that, all right? But just I would pray. Lord, I would pray, the Lord, don't let them keep going, dear God. Don't let them keep messing the neighbors like that. That's horrible, all right? Look here. Hey, can I say this too? Kind of throw this in. Brethren, we have, and I beg your prayers. I beg your prayers. I want to always be responsible here, responsible everywhere. But brethren, there's got to be responsibility and a manner of responsibility when we bring forth the word of God. People are listening, and not everybody is not only is everybody not doctrinally sound, some people are not sound sensibly wise. Brethren, you're going to deal with people that sometimes don't have good sense. And you've got to be careful what you say and do. What do you say? Listen, I heard about a guy one time. He was making a statement, I guess he was trying to talk about husbands leading. And I'm sure, surely he didn't mean it. But off the cuff, he said, well, some of you, and I did hear a pastor, a preacher say this one time, an evangelist. And I thought, fella, you better not say that. But evidently it was another case of the same thing. I did hear a man say the very same thing one time. But evidently he said, well, some of you just need to take your wife and slap her one time. That's, brethren, you can't say that. First of all, you don't need to do that. Some of you might get smacked back. But anyway, you don't need it with a frying pan. You don't need to do that. That's not how you handle things. Don't do that. You don't need to say that. All right? Well, he said it. Well, there was a fella, evidently not wrapped too tight, sitting in the congregation. And listen, people that aren't wrapped too tight get married too, you understand? And so he went wrapped too tight, and he went home, and plah! He smacked his wife, man. Caused some trouble. And you know what? Preacher said I ought to do that. Well, can you imagine? Well, I didn't really mean that. We said it. We said it. Mm-mm. Be careful. Be careful. Just throwing that in there. But, brethren, be careful. And sometimes, brethren, listen. I believe when you preach and teach that you ought to throw little elements of everything into it. There needs to be some humor. My goodness, brethren. Look here. There's nothing wrong with a little something that, within the realms of scriptural principles, helps a rough dose of medicine go down. All right? So, preacher, sometimes you'll bring up, you'll kind of let things be kind of humorous. Yes, indeed, I will. Because I know some of the times also, some of the things that I believe that God has us put forth, there's some heavy load sometimes. And there's nothing wrong with throwing a little something in there. Look, ain't you ever had some medicine when you were younger? There was a bitter dose to take, and a little sugar, a little something helped to go down a little easy, a little honey. Nothing a little wrong with that. God has given you the ability to laugh and appreciate humor. Shoot, man, if you end up with a time of service, of worship toward God, and you laugh a little and cry a little, and get mad at sin a little, okay, right thing, that's all good. God gave you all them emotions. He gave you the ability to laugh at the right time. He gave you the ability to cry at the right time. He gave you the ability to get angry at the right time. He gave you all those things, you know. Brethren, don't get so stiff. Brethren, don't ever try to be the center of attention and a clown. But natural humor and to be able to laugh is a wonderful gift from God. A wonderful gift. Did you know God has given you the ability to see the absurd? Since people will see things and they'll get tickled at it and they'll wonder, well, I wonder if I should. Brethren, God has given you the ability to appreciate the absurd. And if you don't believe that, you need to go. It would do you real good to go to the zoo. You need to pay a visit to the zoo. And you need to look, those creatures didn't evolve. God, you know what? I'm going to shoot straight with you. I've told you before. I have looked before and I thought, Lord, you know when you made that baboon with that red rear end on that thing, you knew that we was going to get tickled at that. And yet you done it. And you ever thought about that? You're going to tell me you're going to go by, what are you going to do? Go by the baboon exhibit. Are you serious? Huh? I should look at that. What? That's a wild animal. What are you going to do with that? Out of the wild? It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Oh, we pass by those baboons with that red butt picking lice off each other and eating gnats off the ground. Really? And I'm sitting there going. Watch a little kid come by. What is that? It's funny. Stop. You know it's funny. Did it ever hit you that God intended it to be funny? God has given you an ability. Listen, and the same exhibits, go by and look at an eagle. And you're like, wow. Oh, yeah. Ooh, man, look at that thing, right? Amen. You go by, you know, you go look at the lion. You're like, wow. Wow, look at that. You know, it's, whew. And then, you know, you go by, you know, and you look at, look at something, you know, so you go up to look at the snakes. And you're like, ooh, ooh. Ooh, man, look at that thing. Ooh, that thing look evil. Look at that thing. Ooh, look at that thing's back behind there. And you go look at different things, right? And you go look at the baboons, right? And you're like, And you see some of those monkeys, right, that just, like, why would the Lord put a nose like that on that animal? That just, you know, and it looks kind of, why? This is the absurd, right? You get tickled at it. Look, that the same God that made all these things made that. He gave you an ability to appreciate the absurd. And you get tickled at it. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just like everything that God has established, the devil wants your timing off. Or to turn it upside down. He wants you to laugh when it's not appropriate to laugh. And he wants you to be stern when you ought to ease up a little bit, be able to laugh at something. He wants to get everything that God's done, whether it be intimate relationships, whatever, he wants to turn it always upside down and opposite. He hates what God has done. And so he always wants to mess with it. All right? And so, brethren, look here. When you look, to be able to take and see the humor in something and laugh, look, that's fine. That's fine. And let me tell you something. Anybody that will sit in church and cannot allow themselves to get tickled sometimes at something, something's wrong. They're not spirituals. They think they are. Something's wrong. Harlan Popoff, when he was in a concentration camp, said even in the midst of that, we could laugh. We always found things to laugh at. And he said we could always tell when somebody was getting ready to snap, they couldn't laugh anymore. They couldn't laugh. And we could tell. All right, look here. So watch this. 2 John 10, if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Go back now to Titus 3. Wrap a few things up here. Titus 3. I've mentioned it to y'all before, but if some of you hadn't heard, we went, when Ellie was little, the youngest little, we went to the zoo, and there was in baboons, right? I don't know what got in that boy's crawl that day. But I was standing there, and there was Sarah and Ellen, and I put my hand on Sarah, and I put my arm on Ellie. And that, I guess you'd call him alpha male baboon. I don't know what he was. Anyway, that big boy ran to the edge of that pit. I'm not exaggerating. He bared his teeth and went, "Argh!" And I was like, and he just, "Argh!" He's yelling at me, right? And I was like, what in the world? And so I put my hands down to look at him, and he walked off. So I put my arm around Sarah again. Argh! And he, every time I would touch them, he would come and yell. And I was getting a kick out of it. I was laughing until he hit me. I'm a threat to a baboon. I was like, that ain't funny, man. Like, I don't think about that. And all of a sudden, my laughter went from, ha, 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 wait a minute. Something's messed up about that. But seriously, he would go and do that. So at least I know I can intimidate a baboon. All right. Titus 3. Verse number 10 again. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Look, verse 11. Knowing that he that is such is subverted. He's subverted. The word subvert in the dictionary means overthrown, overturned. What's happened? Well, he's been overthrown. To subvert means to overthrow. He has been upended. He's failed in his wrestling match. You get thrown. The Bible says we wrestle against principalities and powers. He got thrown. He was overthrown. He was subverted. He was upended. Somewhere, he failed. He failed in his wrestling. And he allowed the enemy to get a foothold with him and to turn him up on end. He's subverted. He's overthrown. He's turned up on end. And that's what the devil is always trying. And again, notice, subverted, overturned, overthrown. The devil is always trying, I just said it and I'll say it again, he's always trying to turn up on end anything that God has established or set up. If God says up, he says down. If God says left, he says right. Whatever the Lord says, he tries to. Listen, the devil doesn't originate anything. He doesn't do that. He simply tries to overturn and mess with what God has established. He doesn't originate things. He just takes and says, God says a man and a woman. The devil says man and a man. Woman and a woman. You've got something that has beauty to it. The devil says, no, that's ugly. something that has honestly disorder to it, the devil says, oh, that's one. He tries to turn everything up on its end. And that's what he'll try to do with you, is to turn you up and turn you over with sound doctrine. And one of the best ways you can keep a check on yourself to keep heresy from finding its way into your life, believe it or not, is keeping a check on your personal devotional walk with God. If you look at heresy as merely a thing of a doctrinal intellect, no, the key to that thing is having a heart with a practical desire to walk holy with God. See, there's a wild thing, brethren, that Psalm 19 gives us about understanding Scripture. Who does he give understanding to? Listen, those that keep his precepts. Isn't that something? One of the ways to learning more Bible is to keep what God's already shown you. Not just merely know it, put it into use. And you find somebody that will take... See, it's like this. Listen, a lot of bad doctrine, you know one of the marks of a lot of it? There's no practical use to it. There's no practical use to it. Listen, back when they used to have these wells with a windlass on it and you left the well down, the bucket down and get your water. Well, think about it. How deep do you need to go? The only depth you need to go is where the water is to fill your bucket up. Water. Fill it up. Drink it. Wash your clothes. Wash your dishes. Whatever. Make use of it. But let's suppose that a man, he heard water, but he said, I want to see how deep I can go. And he lets that bucket down and lets that bucket down. Well, what would happen in them old wells was you hit bottom, and you muddied the water. Yep. And now you can't bring it up and make use of it. It's got to settle back out. Because you bring up that muddy water, you don't want to wash your clothes in it. You don't exactly drink it. It's got to settle. You got some muddy water. And you know what, brethren? When you go so deep that you bring up matters that you can't make practical use with it, you might have some muddy doctrine.
Yeah, that's good.
Seriously.
Yep, right.
You should be able to make some practical use of holiness and your walk with God with the thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if not, better be careful about it. Better look at it with a close eye. All right, listen. So he's subverted. Look what it says next. Knowing the heat of the such is subverted and sinneth. And sinneth. So notice, there's a difference between heresy versus error from mere ignorance. But sometimes, come on, brethren, all of us, there's some things we just kind of didn't have right. Amen.
Sure.
We get corrected on it. We were in error. Shoot, brethren, I constantly pray. I prayed this morning, Lord, any way that I am in error about, correct me. Correct me. Lord, if I am in error about something, Lord, correct me. I'm serious, brethren. And so error just merely comes from ignorance. But brethren, heresy stems, it's sin. It's not a matter of, I didn't know, I was an error. It's a matter of willful ignorance. It is a sinful, stubborn rejection of truth and reproof. There is pride and self-will involved. You understand? Brethren, if somebody wants truth, but they've been an error, and you show them what the Bible says, if the heart's right, they'd be like, oh, wow. Wow, thank you. Wow, I can see that now. Okay, boy, that's a blessing. I'm glad God has got me straight on that thing. Amen. But rather, if there comes a matter of like, okay. Okay. And you don't want to see it because you felt good about being what you thought was right, sin's entering in now. Sin is entering in. Now pride and self-will are starting. Brethren, different situations can start out okay, but they can turn into something different. If you look at the book of Job, Job didn't cause any of that. Job didn't cause it. The Lord simply lifted the hedge. God had purposes in it. But look at Elihu's rebuke of him. That thing had turned into something different. Job had to repent toward the end, and it was becoming chastisement. In fact, Elihu warns him, Job, you keep this up, you're going to get cut off. He hadn't done anything to start the thing. The problem was his attitude in the thing. He was justifying Job instead of justifying God. And Elihu rebuked him over it. Brethren, sometimes a thing can start out fine. God's allowing it for a purpose. But if your attitude isn't correct, it can turn into chastisement. Something may not be chastisement, but if you and I don't maintain a correct attitude, it can turn into chastisement. All right? And so look, you take, we may be in error about something. Well, receive it. But listen, if you bristle, you're done. Your learning will stop right then, and you better be careful because now it's turning sinful. Now you've got pride and self-will in the way. All right? Because the error is just error. You didn't know. It needs to be corrected. But heresy is something different. There's sin involved. He that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. The word condemned means adjudged or sentenced to punishment. In other words, he did it to his own self. He did it to his own self. He has no one to blame but himself. You see, brethren, if you refuse admonition, reproof, and rebuke, you will have no one to blame but yourself for what follows. You are condemning yourself. Not a matter of, yeah, they went, you know, they just kicked me out. Well, wow, what was the deal? Well, they just couldn't receive the truth I had. What? Look, God has showed me this thing, right? And I know this. Okay. And so what happened? Well, they went and you know, they came to me twice and because they were not spiritual enough to receive it, they kicked me out. Okay, gotcha. No, look here, you fixed yourself. Brother, you know what? We always like to put that best spin on us. They just booted me out, put me out. There it went. Well, what's the details about it? What happened? What's the details? Well, you don't give the details, do you? You caused it yourself. Brethren, look here. If you and I will not humble ourselves down, if we won't receive truth, if we get prideful, if we get self-willed, then we're going to have no one to blame but ourselves about what follows. And we sure don't want that happening. Brethren, put up the defenses that God has given you to keep heresy out from your life, your family, and your church. If God allows it to come in, then use his opportunity to manifest that you've been doing your homework and your Bible and your attitudes right. Lord, the church can overdraw its leadership from. But if it comes in and without a purpose that God allowed, listen, deal with it. By the grace of God, not too hastily, but then don't let it linger. But just like the book says, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, this is this kind of a thing would never be an enjoyable thing. It would never be something, Father, that we would want to have to deal with. But Father, help us, dear Lord, in such matters to make sure that we do deal with it in the right way, with the right spirit. And Father, help us, dear God. Your word has provided us, Lord, with the armament we need against heresy. But Father, so much of it deals with not just knowledge, but a heart attitude. Lord, because the heretic, your word says he sinneth. And Lord, there seems to be involved in such, not just merely error from ignorance, but an attitude of pride, self-will, rebellion. Lord, help us to lay these things to our heart. Give us understanding and guidance to the light of what we've looked at. We ask this in Lord Jesus' name, please, for his sake. Amen.